on this Communion Sunday. I really love Communion Sundays. And I know many of you do too, because attendance seems to go up on Communion Sundays. I don't know why that is. It's almost like you think you can come once a month. I'll look at you, because I know you're here every Sunday. They have to be. Communion Sundays are very special because we have the opportunity to partake of the elements together and remember the sacrifice that was made for us and on our behalf. But I do think that some people think of Communion Sunday as some sort of special day in the month where we get an opportunity to partake of sacred elements, and it's a sacrament, and we don't do it enough. Right? And so you want to make sure you're here on this Sunday, because in our tradition, we only do it once a month. You know, so you're going to miss it. And if you can't go 2 months without communion, so you make sure you're here on Communion Sunday. I just wish everyone had that attitude about every Sunday. That's all I can say. Because we break the bread every Sunday. And more importantly, the Lord wants to see our hearts. He wants to see us exercising our faith. And there are many ways to do that. This is one way. This is not about me, even though my face is plastered on almost half the card. Oh my goodness. Hey. But still, in spite of my face, we could use these, because you only have a new pastor for so long. If I'm going to be here for the next 33 years, and I don't mean preaching for the next 33 years, I mean being here for the next 33 years, that means it's going to be a long time till we have a new pastor. So take advantage of the opportunity to share, hey, my church has a new pastor. You got to come and hear this guy. He's crazy. So take these cards. I put them in the pew racks. I have them everywhere. You can't leave this place without seeing this card. It's on tables and shelves and window, what do you call that? Window sills. Thank you. I knew it had a special word. I just couldn't remember it. Anyway, use this card to give to family, to friends, to coworkers, to neighbors. Leave them in the doctor's office on the coffee table, whatever you want. These are tools for you to share your faith, really. And it might lead to an invitation to bring somebody to church. And always, if they show any interest, always say, when can I pick you up? Sunday morning, when can I pick you up? I'll pick you up at 9:30. Service is at 10, whatever. Use this as a tool, but it also could lead to an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. The reason why you have this hope within you. As Christians, we need to be salt and light in the community. And you can't do that if you have nothing to say when they say, so what's so special about your church? Or why is church so important to you? Or I don't really know about Christianity and being a Baptist. What's that all about? If you don't have an answer for that simple question, it's not a pat or rote answer. The answer is different for as many different people that we have in this room. The answer is simply your story. Period. And you just tell them your story. Well, I was brought up in that church, and I learned about Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins. I became a Christian there. Oh, really? We're not just Christians because we're born in the United States of America? No, we're not. You see, one must choose to trust and believe in him. One must receive the faith that God gives to us, the free gift of eternal life. Hey, you should come with me on Sunday. I have a card to remind you. When can I pick you up? You see how that goes? But you got to be prepared. You got to even rehearse that with each other if you need to, but have an answer. Have an invitation. Make use of the tool. It's not to promote me, it's not to promote the church. It's a tool to see others come to know Jesus. That's what this card's all about. It looks like it's all about me. You might say it's all about the church. It's not. It's about Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what church you go to. Churches are people gathering together because they trust and believe in Jesus. There's one church, people. You do know this, right? Doesn't matter if you go to the church down the street, if they wear robes, whatever. The church is one. And we happen to be one corner of the vineyard. And you can share your faith with people and hand this card, and they come and they hear the gospel, and maybe they become Christian, and maybe they end up at another church. Hallelujah! That's what we're all about, sharing the good news of the gospel. And if God can use us in any small way, we need to take advantage of that. Well, let's get to the sermon this morning, Pastor, otherwise you'll be here all day. Yeah, I know how you think. I think the same thoughts. I do. In Romans chapter 3, last week we were taking a look at the fact that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So if we're all sinners, we need saving. That's kind of the general message from last week. This week, the message is from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And there's three parts to it. Three parts. And it's a simple verse. And once you memorize it, if you don't even memorize it, if you get the gist of it, you can, I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus quoted scripture frequently. And when he did so, he put it in his own words. I don't know if you've studied this, if you know this, but Jesus didn't have to get every word according to the text that was popular of his day. He did put it in his own words. And oftentimes he didn't cite the addresses of his verses either. He just used scripture because it filled him up. And he spoke truth, because truth is truth, whether it's from the King James or the NIV or the Elliot Cook version. Now, I'm not giving you liberty to twist God's word to make it say something that it doesn't say. But if you hold true to the meaning, you understand what I'm saying. You know that there are 20 different major versions of the Bible, all accurate, good, and true. Why can't it just be said in your way? For instance, our verse this morning, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Point number one. You work all your life so you can retire. Go to Florida, wherever. Buy a motorhome, an RV, whatever your dreams are for retirement, right? You work all your life and you get something at the end. The rewards. The rewards of sin is death. I thought about making it into a game show this morning. Linda Cook, come on down. You're our next contestant on Let's Make a Deal. All right, so what do you have to trade? Oh, your sin and your sorrow. Okay, well, we'll take that. And we're going to give you hell and damnation. Yay! Tell her what she's won. Don Pardo, and he goes into a spiel telling you how you'll be separated from God for all eternity. And yes, paints a wonderful picture, right? Well, now, Linda, we'll give you the opportunity to keep that prize, or you can have what's behind curtain number one. Jane, show her what's behind curtain number one. Oh, forgiveness and eternal life. Wow. Well, would you like to trade what we gave you before? Hell and damnation for forgiveness and eternal life. And Linda's thinking long and hard. She says, well, you know, all my friends, they're going to hell. I think I might want to stay and go to hell with all my friends. Well, some people actually think this way. Or, you know, I've been living this way for so long, I don't know if I really want, you know, that's religion. That's... You got to change, and I don't want to change. I kind of like the freedom to sin because, quite frankly, I love my sin, and so maybe I'll just stay with what I have, that first gift. Okay, well, you're going to miss out on forgiveness and eternal life, but that's your choice. And then she thinks and she says, you know what? forever's a long time. Maybe I should. Oh, I don't know. What do you think she should do? It's a no-brainer, people. It really is. Except for the person caught in their sin who thinks that there is nothing after this life, that they'll never meet God, that they'll never have to give an account. But we all will face him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. We'll all be before him, and he'll lay our sins. Actually, I used to say, let's go to the videotape, and he'll show us our sins. And there's a little newsreel of all your greatest hits, yours and mine. Everyone gets a special viewing with God. And what's on the screen is not the latest film, but what's on the screen is the reel of your life. And it's the sins of your life. And it's not a pleasant thing. And you're there alone, sitting in the darkness, and God's sitting there next to you. See this point? I had this happen, and this is your response. This is what you did. Made me sad. It was a tremendous opportunity, but you blew it. I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. That's all right. Let's roll the tape. And it goes on and on and on and on. And eventually, you're just drained. And you're a puddle on the floor at the master's feet. And you're saying, God, forgive me. And he picks us up and he says, I just had to show you what my son died for in case you forgot. And he takes his hanky out and he wipes away our tears. And he says, now I want you to see what I have in store for you. And he pushes open the door and he walks in with us and he shows us all the things that he has prepared for us. And that former life, that old way, the sin of our past is gone. Never to be remembered no more. And we are new. We are perfect and complete, not lacking in anything, Scripture tells us. I look forward to that day, because it ain't getting any better here. And I'm not getting any better. I try. And I surrender more and more. But it seems to always indicate that I have more and more to surrender. That I have such a long, long way to go. And if I can say that being a clergyman, please call me Elliot. It makes me feel like a human being. You know, I go golfing, and as soon as they find out that I'm a pastor, all of a sudden they start acting differently. Their golf game usually goes in the toilet because they can't, you know, cuss and be upset with themselves and throw their clubs, and so it has to be internalized, and when you internalize in golf, it's never a good thing. Well, I like to be reminded that I'm a person, but I also want you to know that I'm a person too. Just like you, I put my pants on one leg at a time. I don't jump out of bed, whoop, and the suit just falls on me into place with the tie. No. So the wages of sin is death. It's a no-brainer. You understand that, right? If you do evil, evil is your reward. If you do good, if you follow Jesus, if you accept Jesus Christ, not if you're perfect, because Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. And if you trust in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins, and surrender your life to him, he will help you to be more like him than you used to be. And it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time. But eventually you can turn around and say, my goodness, I was heading nowhere. My life was a shamble. It's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than it used to be. Some of you can say that. Some of you can't. Maybe it's because you're not trusting in Jesus. Maybe it's because you haven't received this gift. That's the second part of the verse. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift, it says in the NASB, free gift of God is eternal life. Free gift. I love that phrase. There's no strings attached. Nothing in this world's free. They try to give you free stuff all the time. They call you telemarketers, right? And they say, don't hang up. Well, that's the first thing I do. The other thing, if they don't say don't hang up and I haven't hung up yet, they'll say, we have a free offer. I say, free? I love free stuff. All you have to do is sign up for 3 years at this price. I thought you said it was free. It's never free, right? Except God truly gives us a free pass on all our sins. Of the past, they're done away with. Even our future sins will be dealt with because of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for our sins. What does it cost you? There is a cost. Not that you have to live a perfect life, but you're going to try. You're going to submit to him. You're going to go his way instead of your own. And there's some denial. Denial of what you would rather do. Well, I'd rather stay home and watch football than to go to church. Or I'd rather go out with my friends and get a little tipsy instead of joining the choir. Are you all tipsy this morning? I hope not. That you could fall out of that box, you know. Maybe that's why they're in a box. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. One thing I wanted to say about eternal life is whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a sinner living in sin or a sinner who's been forgiven by Jesus by faith as a Christian, doesn't matter. You're going to live forever. Did you know this? They don't teach this in every Baptist church, but in case you're wondering, sinners live eternally. They do. Separated from God in a place where the scripture talks about is weeping that never ceases. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, or ganashing as I like to call it. Ganashing of teeth is when you take your teeth and you're grinding your teeth because you're furious, because you're angry, because you're upset, because you're worried, because you're sad, because you're in great turmoil. Some people will tell you that there's flames in hell for all eternity. How many of you have read Dante's Inferno? Any Dante Inferno fans? I figured Jim would. Dante wrote a great work. It's very hard reading. It's not for everybody. But he paints a picture of what hell is like. And it's not a pleasant place. And it's worth looking at. Maybe not a full read through if you don't like old English, but or the translations that have come about. It is worth looking at what hell could be like. It's an imagining of what hell could be like, but it goes on for all eternity. And one of the reasons why they're crying, one of the reasons why they're gnashing their teeth is they're so upset with themselves for missing the boat, missing out on the free gift that God tried to give them during their life. They missed it because they were interested in living life their way. They wanted their sin. They wanted to do it their way. I'm not in the choir. Thank you for that. We have a great choir, don't we? Yeah. I love the choir. You make me so jealous. I'm weeping and gnashing my teeth now. Well, so the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the last part of this verse. Three sections, okay? It's pretty simple. The wages of sin is death. You're a sinner. Romans 3:23, you're a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The free gift of God is eternal life. Lastly, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't just let everybody into heaven. I don't know if you heard. Not everybody's going to be there. But having said that, it's not just certain ones who are going to be there either. You know who's going to be in heaven? Sinners. drunkards, womanizers, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, liars, thieves, murderers, who have repented. They will all be there with us, who are also gluttons, backstabbers, mean, nasty, angry, whatever your sin is. We're all sinners. And there'll be all sorts of people there. There's a joke of a Baptist who went to heaven, and when he got there, St. Peter, it's always St. Peter, I don't know why it's his job, but he's showing the person around, and he notices this big wall, and he says to Peter, "What's this wall for?" And he says, "Oh, that wall. See the signs, quiet? We can't talk too loud here. But on the other side are the Catholics, and they're the only ones who think that they're here. So we put up this wall to let them think that they're the only ones here." You can replace it with Baptist. You can replace it with whatever denomination you want to pick on. Why did I pick on Catholics this morning? I'm not picking on them. They're going to be there. Some of you don't think that they are. I think that's sad. I'm not saying that every Catholic is going to be in heaven. And I'm not saying that every Baptist is going to be in heaven either. What I would like to rather focus on is, will you be there? You can know for sure. You can know for sure. I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure. All you have to do is open your heart's door, say, "I surrender. I'm making a mess of my life. There's a manual, there's instructions here, and I'm not living your way, and it's getting worse and worse. God, I surrender. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I understand the pastor's message. Come into my heart. Transform me. Make me a new creature. I want to be your child. I want eternal life." Many of you have already done that, but there are some here today that still have not. And they may have been here for 40 years. It may be their first day here. I don't know you yet. But it's my job to make sure you hear these words. Jesus died for you. He loved you so much that he would rather give up his life and glory. He would rather die than live without you. That's how much he loves you. Let that seep into your soul. He died so that he could have a relationship with me. He loves me. He does. Perhaps you can pray that prayer that I was just blurting out in your own words and come to know faith. Maybe you can learn these verses. Take this card with you, better equipped to share the good news of the gospel with those around you. Bring them to church. There's no greater place to express your joy and to worship God. Yes, you can do it on your own. But that's like moving a boulder or cleaning a house on your own. Wasn't it nice to have all those helping hands, Linda, yesterday? About a dozen people came over, and if you didn't know, we signed on a house. We're now Scrantonites. I'm no longer a homeless pastor. I didn't say homely. I said homeless. I'm no longer a homeless pastor. I'm a Scrantonite. My wife and I, Linda, are Scrantonites, and we're very pleased and honored to be here. But people came and made a taxing job, an overwhelming job, so much easier. And Linda and I would like to thank you to each one of you who came yesterday to help us. You saved us 2 days, 24 hours work. You know, just the two of us. In the same way, worshiping on your own is kind of like that. Yeah, you can worship on your own. You can read God's word on your own. You can learn. You can grow that way. But why? When you have the encouragement of a church body that is so blessed like this place, you can grow here a whole lot easier than you can. This is a fertile, rich soil designed just for you and your family. I pray that you consider these words and your needs this morning and do business with God. I invite you to come tonight, 5:00. We're having another service right here in our sanctuary. Come back and be encouraged again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your watch care over us, your love, your mercy and grace. And Father, you know the heart of every individual here. Perhaps everyone here is a Christian. That would be great. But I don't have that assurance yet. I don't know these people yet. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus, that is meeting him for the first time, that is understanding this good news for the first time, that you will help them to surrender to you, acknowledging that they are a sinner, asking for mercy, asking for forgiveness, and becoming your child. Help them to have no rest until they surrender fully to you. And Father, as we turn our focus and attention to the communion, Father, I pray that that person would make that decision right now in these moments so that they can partake of these elements in a worthy manner for the first time in their life. That they can celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, to partake of these elements in such a way, Father, that brings you great honor and glory, and that they truly understand the significance. But first, we must be broken. Thank you for breaking us in a loving, caring way. Prepare our hearts now to partake of these elements. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.